Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Peach State Pandemonium, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we discuss the past, present, and future of professional wrestling in Georgia and beyond. We bring you the latest news and upcoming events and speak to legends, upcoming stars, and key people in between. Now here's your host, Rich Tate.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of Peach State Pandemonium this evening. I just want to welcome everybody to the show and mention that Les put this thing together tonight, and it's a very special tribute for Doc Young. I just want to mention real quickly that Doc and Les used to host a wrestling program on the internet radio called Wrestling Weekly. Very good show. Anybody that didn't catch it, there are archives still available online, and we're going to try to get some links up to those very shortly over the next couple days. And since Les put this show together, I am going to let Les take it. I'll play Second Banana tonight. Les, how you doing, sir?
Are you playing Second Banana?
Sure.
I'm used to that. That's my job. Listen, it's such a special show that our girl that does the opening, she stuttered.
Yeah, she did. You noticed that.
I certainly did, Rich.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. Well, as good as can be expected for a guy my age, you know, hanging in there. Yeah, it's a special show, and we'll wait till we get Doc on to talk more about that. But he's a guy who got me involved in internet talk shows, and we did the show for, you'll have to tell you for how many years actually together. And so this is kind of our last shot. Our last shot together. He's worked, you know, he works on both my websites and does some pictures and helps out. So, you know, we stay in touch that way, but he's just not going to do a weekly show anymore. So I just thought tonight would be a good chance to, you know, to say so long, pay some tribute. And we got a few special people calling in throughout the evening. And I know I talked to him earlier, and he's a little nervous. He said, "You may have to carry." I said, "You're never in a loss for words." I said,
"Yeah, I sensed that in an email. We kind of corresponded back and forth over the last couple of weeks, and you know, he said, you know, you guys are probably gonna have to carry me." And just for anybody that's maybe unfamiliar with Doc and his situation, why don't you kind of lay that out real quickly, and you know, that way maybe because I think he's concerned about how he's going to sound tonight. So,
well, you know, I talked to him a little earlier this evening, and the cough wasn't there. It's called cough asthma, which quite honestly I've never heard about it before until this diagnosis. But this all came about. It's actually been over a year ago. In fact, a year and a half ago, we were awarded best show of the year for wrestling talk shows, and which I thought was real great. And a lot of that, you know, is obviously on him because he produced the show and everything. He was the glue that cemented it together. And then it was in February a year ago that he just came up sick one evening. We thought, well, we're going to cancel this one show, you know.
Right.
And then one became two, and two became three, and three became four. And it was other symptoms which kind of went away and diminished, but it was this constant cough. And so it just, we kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And he kept going to different specialists, and, you know, we'll let him talk about that actually a little bit too, because he's obviously better equipped to explain it than I am. But anyway, it finally just came down to a specialist here a couple months ago that actually diagnosed it as cough asthma, is what he called it. And there is some sort of medication that will keep the cough in check. But this is something that's, you know, there's times we've had conversations that, you know, you'll hear him cough a little bit every 30 seconds or so, which as a professional, it bothers him. So
right.
He didn't want to, you know, but I said, hey, we're going to do this one more time, just, you know, our last dance or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, that's kind of basically it. Like I say, he's the guy who got me into this thing. You want to touch on any news before we get rolling?
Sure, I'll let you do that, though. I got to tell you, I've been caught up with quite a few things with my daughter and trying to get college stuff done, so I have not paid much attention this week to anything. So
you've been showing her which bars to go to drink at?
Yeah. Telling her which kind of guys to look out for. That's what I've been doing.
She said, if you see anybody that acts like your father, steer clear of him.
There you go.
You know, I don't think daughter – I've got a daughter, too. Of course, she's way past college age, but I don't think they understand that fathers were teenage boys at one time.
Oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. But you know, I got to tell you, though, I'm always reminding my kids the same thing that I learned when I hit adulthood. You know, I remember being a teenager thinking, my parents are stupid. I know everything. You know, they don't know anything. Man, there's just that one day when you wake up in your 20s and all of a sudden your parents are just geniuses. And I keep reminding them that day is going to
come. As you get older, they get smarter.
That's it.
Yeah, no, that's true. I don't think there's a generation. Well, I don't know how many generations there are before you and I, but, I don't think there's a lot of generations that go back that haven't gone through the same thing. You know, I just talked to a friend of mine who has a stepson who just hit, I think, 15. And he said, he just thinks I'm the dumbest guy. I said, yeah. Weren't you the same way? He said, yeah, I really was. So I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something. I don't know if you've been watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
No, I have not.
Well, you should.
Somehow I knew you were, though.
Well, you know.
You're
honestly,
a reality junkie.
Honestly, no, I'm not. You know, the Dancing with the Stars and American Idol are my whole two reality trips for the year. Well, I shouldn't say that. America's Got Talent, I think, because some very unusual and some talented people that show up on that thing. But anyway, I started watching this a week ago Monday simply just to see what it was because Tori Wilson was on there.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, the hottest heel in my estimation is Spencer Pratt from The Hills.
SOB. What exactly is the premise of this show?
They're in Costa Rica in the jungle, and they have challenges to, you know, it's men against the women, and they have, you know, different challenges, and to win a complete, you know, like a gourmet meal, it's different meal each time. And then whoever loses the challenge gets beans and rice, basically. And, you know, and it's different. They have to eat dried caterpillars.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, and hang by their hands until they fall into a mud pit. I mean, it's just, you know, it's different games and stuff like that. And it's, you know, but now I've stuck with it. Well, this Spencer Pratt, who's on The Hills, I've never watched the show. He and his wife, his girlfriend, Heidi Montag, what a couple pains in the ass. I mean, for real. He scored heat with me from the first 10 minutes in. I mean, and then they walked off, and they won, and they came back, and then they walked off, Stephen Baldwin baptized him in the river, and he found God.
Oh, wow.
And,
in Costa Rica, yeah.
Yeah, and now the biggest heel is Janice Dickinson, the supermodel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tori's
done real well.
Yeah, she was one of Barker's babes, right?
One of the what?
One of the Bob Barker's babes, Price is Right.
Girl, you know what? I don't know. I'm not a big game show host
at all. For some reason, I'm linking that name back to that show.
I don't know. She did the a model, a supermodel show or a reality show on, I don't know what channel it was, here in the last couple years, too. Hmm. So... But she's been playing, you know, she's been cosmetic surgery to death, and she's trying to con Sanjaya, the Indian kid that was on American Idol a couple years ago, that had a different hairdo every week. He's done real well. I mean, honestly, out there, Lou Diamond Phillips is on the thing, the two Baldwin brothers, Stephen and Daniel, the governor that was had to step down in Illinois, his wife, who's doing real well. Is on there, and now this Heidi Montag's sister Holly, and I just turned it off before I hooked up with you. The women won their first challenge. It wasn't like anything really physical. They just won their first challenge to get the big meal where the guys are going to get stuck with the rice and the beans. So
how's Tori coming off on this thing?
Good, I think. She's, she's done real well, one of the better competitors as far as women. She and the governor's wife in this one particular thing where they had to crawl under these obstacles through a muddy swamp with and move these giant puzzle pieces from one side of the swamp mud hole thing to the other and put it back together. And they almost won that. They just didn't get the puzzle back together exactly in time. And so anyway, it's kind of crazy. But this Spencer Pratt is one a jackass, boy. I mean, really.
Is this really him being him?
Well, from every indication, yes. I've never watched the show, but I've heard. Well, her sister just came on the show and tonight, and they said, "Well, you don't really like Spencer." She says, "No, not really. My mother hates him worse than I do." But he's kind of, never watched Survivor, but I heard all the stories about Johnny Fairplay on Survivor, right?
Right.
And only he lasted for a while. This guy is, they're gone now because his girlfriend or his wife, whatever she is, got a stomach ache and all that sort of thing. Which, anyway. It is what it is, brother.
The only reality TV that gets watched in our house on a regular basis would be the Gene Simmons show, and on Biography, and then my wife loves that John and Kate Plus 8 stuff.
I've never seen that, and I've seen the Simmons thing a couple times because I've seen his girlfriend in a few movies. Which, but you watch Simmons and stick your tongue out at him, right?
Oh yeah.
I see. Yeah, are you a big Kiss fan?
As a kid, yeah, I was. Now, no. It was fun, stupid music. It's kind of one of those things. It's kind of like, when you're a kid of the 70s or 80s and you're into the hard rock stuff, yeah, it was stupid, fun music. Guilty pleasure.
A couple of their things that I kind of liked, but I was never into the whole, elevator boots and the whole face paint thing. And it's just, so I never really got into them at all. But
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of an odd band, but you can't fault them for. I mean, my God.
Bottom line is, they made a lot of money, brother.
Yeah.
Yes,
I will tell you this: as a musician, as a serious musician, I sit there and scoff at them, but at the same time, I'm really surprised these guys have not made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But then again, that Rush.
That's 300 miles from me, and I've never been there, and I want to go. I just have never taken the time, and I intend to go before I die, unless I die in the middle of the night here tonight sometime. But I really would love to go up there to Cleveland and check that out because I'm old enough to remember when there wasn't rock and roll. No, I mean seriously.
Yeah,
Remember going to a place called the Double B Drive-In here in a subdivision called Fairfax on the eastern side of Cincinnati, in the area where I grew up. And I remember somebody putting a nickel in that jukebox and hearing Tutti Frutti for the first time.
Oh wow!
And by Little Richard, and I was hooked.
You
got to realize, King. Hey, now you were talking about a serious musician. We can spend 90 minutes. You know what's in since King Records in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Ballard and the Midnighters recorded here. James Brown recorded,
right.
The Famous Flames recorded here. The Isley Brothers are from here.
Mm-hmm.
Bootsy Collins, who's one of the best funk, he played with Brown, James Brown, of course, but he played with Funkadelic.
Right.
And Nick Lachey, the whole 98 Degrees, they're all from here. But King's Record, Little Willie Johns.
Talking about when rock and roll was just really getting started, man. I got to tell you, I really wish I'd have been just 16, 17 years old, living in Memphis or in the mid 50s, man. That would have just
I used to listen. I used to hunker down when I was 14 years old and listen to Randy's Record Shop, Gallatin, Tennessee, brother.
Hmm.
When I was a freshman in high school, Ray Charles.
They still open Sun Studios to recording. They still open to recording. Of course, it's a pretty penny. I tell you what, we got the man of the hour on the line. You want to
the man of the hour, the man with the power?
Let's bring him up.
All right.
So, assuming this button works, Doc, you with us?
Hey,
welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thank you.
What do you mean, hey? What the hell kind of talk is that for you? I'm telling everybody how you never shut up, and you're saying hey.
I'm used to not talking now.
Well, for any of the people who listen to us every Tuesday night for how many years were we on?
Three,
okay. Anybody that listens every Tuesday night for 3 years, they're going to hear this new sexy cock young voice.
Right. And yeah, my voice is a little bit different now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You got a little more little depth to it there, buddy. I'll tell you. I'll tell you what, Rich, when I told him, I said, we've got some surprise guests. He said, oh, my God. I said, none of your illegitimate children, Doc. It's just.
Yeah, we tried for those, but then we thought, no, it's not.
I just get nervous when Father's Day comes along, and you never know who's going to call.
Well, they said was, tell him to send the damn checks. Never mind talking.
Right.
Listen, you know what? You can explain all this better to Rich than I. What I want to say now that we've got him on here, he and I, how many years ago did we first, when you were producing a show, we won't even mention this idiot's name, but anyway, I came on as a guest on a show, on a wrestling talk show, and you were producing it. How many years ago was that?
This was 2004, I believe.
Okay. All right. And what happened there,
Rich?
Like
5 years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, Doc would pipe in once in a while. This other guy was the host, the star, the man of the hour. He was a legend in his own mind.
The Tower of Power.
Yes. And drunk with power. Well, drunk anyway. But anyway, Doc got fed up with a guy, and I went back and did a few shows with him, and then, Doc called me, and he said, you know, would you be interested in doing a show? And I said, I had done Wednesday night main event here in Cincinnati. You know, we had a three-hour block for 2 years, but I'd never done the internet thing except for, you know, being a guest. So anyway, Doc says, well, what do you think? And I said, well, we'll give it a try for a couple weeks or a month or whatever. And so it turned into 3 years, and we started. What night did we start on? We jumped nights until we ended up on Tuesday, but how many different nights were we on?
I think we were on three different nights.
We were on Thursday until TNA moved to Thursday, right?
Right. We were on Thursday. I think at one point we were on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
When we first started, we were on Sunday afternoon. It was sometime in May.
Yeah.
And then, we moved to Thursdays, and then TNA got moved to Thursdays, so we moved to Tuesdays.
And hung in there. Now, that little cough. Now, Rich and I were, you explained to him exactly, I told him it was a year ago this past February when you were going to take a week off.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to come back, and we haven't been back since. But now you've been to how many – you've been to, I know, a whole bunch of specialists, and you've heard 10,000 different diagnoses, and this specialist that you went to just a few months ago is actually the guy that nailed it on the head, right?
At least I hope so.
I do, too. But he's given you some medication that's kind of arrested it to a certain degree, right? But, I mean, it's still – well, like when you and I were talking earlier this evening, you didn't cough at all. And I want to tell everybody, it's not he's snorting any white powder or anything. He's choking up on that over there. It's just we've made him give that up. He took a 12-step program for that last year.
Right. That might have caused the cough in the first place. You never know.
Just tell me this. Before you did that, was Les the reason you were doing that?
Yeah, I was the reason. What I am going to tell you on the front end here is Doc and I have laughed and talked about this, but when we started doing the show, Doc would make notes and stuff, you know, and most of my stuff I just play off the top of my head. But anyway, as far as he and I bantering back and forth, it just became like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis type of thing, and, you know, he would take the stance of the promotion or the line opposite of me, and then I would – get all over him. And the funny thing was, I mean, we were just, you know, we didn't realize what great workers we were until our website, the message board started saying, well, that damn Les, I wish you'd quit ragging on Doc. You know, Doc's a nice guy. So Doc became the baby face and I became the ultimate heel. And for those who are listening, it's all a work. I love the doctor to death, and we are friends. Actually, Rich, we have actually only physically met one time.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Doc ran a show down in Indiana, and Matt Inouye, Rosie, was on a show who just lives like 10 minutes from me. And so I made the trip down with him to Doc's show. And that's the only time we ever got a chance, really got a chance to hang out.
Yeah, and Romeo Rosselli, the heartthrob, was there.
Yeah, exactly. And who else? Josh Abercrombie, who went on and did the MTV thing and now works for Ring of Honor some.
Yes.
And who was the kid that had signed a developmental contract that had just been out at Harley's?
Robert Anthony.
Yeah, and he's been since he's been cut.
Yeah, he's been cut.
Yeah. Other than that, it was a cast of of very forgettable characters.
You got some people you have to pay less.
And Doc took a big bump.
That's all I got to say. Yes, we took a big hit that night.
I'll tell you what, Rich, and you haven't done this to me yet since I've been doing this show with you.
What's that?
When we had females on, there were times that I started to worry. I'd hear Doc breathing heavy. And I said, Doc, Doc, are you still there? And he fell in love. I mean, it was, well, one was Christy Hemme.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She signed my Playboy.
She signed his Playboy. All right.
She was really nice. She really did. She signed my Playboy. She gave me her address of her apartment, and I mailed her my Playboy, and she signed it in two different places, and she mailed it back to me. It was really nice of her.
I'm afraid to ask what those two places were.
And the cover and the centerfold, of course.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, the night we had her on, she was at Jeremy Borash's home or apartment or his cave or whatever, and he was either drunk or stoned in the background.
She was in a hotel room.
Oh, is that what it was in? Okay, we don't even know what they were doing. Well,
and they were, no, they're having
really
a party.
Care. Huh?
They're having a party in the hotel room.
Yeah, was that it? Okay.
And Jeremy Borash was there from TNA.
Yeah,
and he was drunk.
We kept hearing him in the background, although we didn't have him on the show. We had him on the show.
Right. He just
and then we had New Jack on from a strip club.
Oh, Lord.
Who had, and it was a, I know it's not politically correct, either a dwarf or a midget or a little person stripper. That was,
yes.
Am I right, Doc?
I forgot about that until you just mentioned it.
Yes. Yes, we did. New Jack Live from a strip club.
Yeah.
So, I tell you what, guys, we got a caller on the line. Looks like they're here from the local area here in Atlanta. Let's see if this is just a regular call or something for Doc. You're on the line, 707, yeah, excuse me, 770 area code. Go ahead. Hello?
Oh. Hello. Hey, how's it going? This is DJ Power Lord from Wrestling Informant Weekly.
Hey, man, how you doing?
All right. Hey, I just kind of heard the show last week where you were saying the doctor's having to retire the show due to illness. So I just wanted to call in and let Doc know that even though we might have had beef in the day when I was doing my show or whatever, Wrestling Weekly show was a show that I actually loved listening to on Sunday nights. She's watching on Sunday night. And I'm sorry I'm making a noise in the back of them on my way to work. But I would listen to it on a Sunday afternoon, I believe it was. And it was one of my favorite shows, you know, and I hate that it has to go off the air or you have to give it up, man, over illness. Like I said, I know all about that type of situation when it comes to dealing with having to give up stuff over illnesses. So, you know, I just want to say, you know, good luck to you in your future endeavors and not like the WWE would say it, but, you know, whatever you do. You know, but whatever else you do in the future, like I said, because I know what it is, I have to give up doing stuff, man, for illnesses, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Are you still doing your show?
No, like I said, I had to give it up, like I said, because back when I was doing the show, I had to stop. Well, the whole time I was doing it, my mother had cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and when I finally stopped doing the show, you know, it had come back. It went into remission, and it came back, and it eventually took her life. But, you know, it was just like she had just gotten too sick for me to be able to do the show and take care of her. Yeah, so thanks a lot. But now I'm sorry to hear the chat to give a show because, like I said, I really did like your show. So I just want to call in and say that.
Man. We appreciate it. We really do.
Okay. And, Les, I enjoy, well, one, I would say thank you for coming on the Wrestling Informant Weekly when you did back in the day. And I also would like to say I check you out on PWI, and I check you out here, too. And I really like your spot. In fact, on PWI, you're the best thing going to me because, like, so you have the history and you talk history.
Well, so, thank you very much. Would you please call Dave Shear and tell him that so he can raise my pay from nothing to 50 cents or something? I appreciate
to raise.
That. Yes.
Okay. Well, like I said, that's all I just want to say. I just want to call you and say, you know, I enjoyed the show, and I hate to see you have to actually give it up, man, because I know you love doing it. So.
Yeah, I really did, but what's got to be done is what's got to be done, but I appreciate you calling, man.
Okay, you know, y'all enjoy the rest of your night, and I continue to listen.
All right, man.
Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you
right.
calling in.
And you know,
that's another reason, Rich, that I wanted to have Doc on tonight, too, because he was just, you know, he said, because I kept, you know, while I kept digging at him, you know, emails on the phone, I'd say, okay, let's do a show. Oh, you know, I can't do it. So I thought, well, finally, and he decided it just wasn't going to happen. And I thought, well, we got to do one more time anyway. You know, it's one like the last dance or whatever. But that's the thing. He loved what he was doing, and he put his heart and soul into it. And like I say, I wouldn't have never got into it if it hadn't been for him. And, you know, he put things – I mean, there's some things that we won't say anything negative about any of the stars of our business that gave him aggravation. Like somebody that I will say this, somebody that I knew really well, I said, book this person. He said, yeah, okay, I'll book him. I said, boy, I've known him since he started in the business. We can get, he'll know who I'm talking about here in a minute.
I already do.
Yeah, we can get an hour out of this person. So he calls me like 5 minutes before we're supposed to go on the, you know, start taping and go on the air. And he said, they're manager called and they're going to give us 10 minutes and we can't talk about this and talk about it. I said, excuse me. Well, you can't talk about this and can't talk about that. And I said, 10 minutes. I get 10 minutes with this person. I said, I don't really think so. I said, no, it ain't booked. I said, give me the number, the manager's number. So,
and you got to remember that we are supposed to be going live in like 30 seconds. And he is like,
yeah,
give me this number right now. We ended up going on, what, 5 minutes late or something like that?
Yeah. But I called the manager and I said, look, I was diplomatic, and I'm not normally that. But, you know, I said, look, we need more time. I said 10 minutes is not, you know, it's not enough. It's unacceptable. I said, I said, okay, fine, we'll call you back. Of course, we never got around to calling it back, but you know, Doc used to book all the shows and produce. And the funny thing was, he would sit with his equipment. I mean, I've never seen, you know, his studio he had at home, but he'd get to dickering around with the dials and stuff, and just even forget that we had a guest. And I was I have to say that I hunt for Rich sometimes too, Doc. But it was Doc.
You got to remember, I had to moderate the chat room, too, at the same time as we were doing the show. So sometimes a couple of people would get an argument about something or I'm trying to read something, you know. And then Les will cue me, and I'm like, what did you just say?
Oh, right, yeah.
Or something like that. But, I was doing, like, four different things at once on that show.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same story here. And then of course, there's also the times where, you know, Les will get in some long-winded conversation, which, you know, that's redundant. But,
I want to say something about that caller that just called. Les, do you remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
I remember that whole situation. Yeah, I had to tone you down.
Yes. I
had to clean your language up. I said,
I had issues.
Right. But hey, yeah, well, that's the internet too, isn't it? I mean, that's. But I thought it was nice of him to call and say what he did.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, Doc was turning all the dials. I'll tell you what, guys, that's something when we did our radio show here at Clear Channel, we had an engineer. All I had to do was myself and the other two guys on all we had to do was talk. So,
right.
You know, we didn't even have to push the button to get the callers up. He brought the callers up and you know, hooked us in and the whole nine yards. But you had produced Doc. How many shows were you involved in before you and I hooked up?
Just the one.
Just that one? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just the original show that where you came on as a guest.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what Rich does to me. He doesn't do anything on the air to frustrate me and confuse me. Uh-oh. He changes the message board on the website every 15 minutes. I mean, I play hell navigating it to begin with, right? And then I'll go on and say, well, that's not there anymore. Where'd that go? Oh.
No, everything's still at its home. It's just some things are getting divvied out.
Does this show have a chat room?
Well, it does, but it doesn't really work that well, so we just don't even bother. They're supposedly upgrading it, and we've been waiting on that for about 2 months now. So, yeah.
Oh, well, that's not very long in upgrading time.
No, I'll tell you what. I thought that and neither one of us thought that it would happen. I don't think anyway. I know we talked about it off the air. It's when we got Show of the Year, Best Show of the Year. I mean, it's just. And it wasn't a show. I mean, as such, I mean, we'd book a guest, but he and I would just start the banner, you know.
Right.
I mean, just back and forth, and sometimes, and like I say, Doc would take the side of.
I always played devil's advocate.
Yeah, yeah, and I said, well, how could you say that? Well, you know, Jesus,
I wanted to say it.
Hey, now while the three of us, while we're talking now too. Talk about dumb statements and just taking the company line to where it makes no sense. This, what is she, COO or something at WWE that was made the public statement about MMA the last day or so. Goldsmith's her name.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first name. She mentioned
Donna.
That. Huh?
Donna.
Yeah. She mentioned that MMA was no threat or no competition because they didn't have superstars and storylines.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
And I thought, what have you watched, or have you ever watched anything, for Christ's sake, right? I mean, do they have any stars, you damn fool? The guy was your world champion as one of their big stars now. Well, a couple, you know, Lashley's moving up too, but to say they're no competition, no, they're outdoing you. They're actually no, that's not competition.
There you go.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, but I mean, to take that stance, I was talking about that. Well, for those who don't know, the last couple of months I've been working as a personal trainer at Bally's Total Fitness on the west side of Cincinnati. And Drew Robertson, who's the general manager, I trained to wrestle. He wrestled Drew the Don or Drew Skills or with the Soul Shooters with a tag team. But anyway, and Rory McAllister is also a personal trainer there, you know, who was with WWE, but I mentioned, you know, I mentioned it to them, but I, you know, to tell you that the whole corporate, I mean, when I say corporate stupidity, I mean, just where some of the people that rule and make big corporate decisions actually don't understand the product that they're dealing with. A young man who interned with me when I had HWA, went to Mount St. Joe College here. He applied for a job in the video department or film department, whatever the hell department they call it in WWE. It's been a few years ago. It was maybe 2 years after our contract was up. And so anyway, he called me immediately after this interview and told me the story. He went to Stanford, and he sat down with a lady in human relations. And, she, of course, she, you know, checking his background, and finally gets around, well, are you a wrestling fan? Oh, yes, I've been a wrestling fan for a long time. Well, have you ever been involved with professional wrestling? Well, yes, ma'am, I have. I interned with Heartland Wrestling Association, HWA, and she gave me this quizzical look and said, I don't believe I'm familiar with that. And he said, well, HWA was one of your developmental territories. And she said, what's a developmental territory?
Oh.
And she's hiring people for WWE.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, that's hey, but you don't really have to know the business to run it. You know, just whatever. But it's, yeah, I mean, that's, so when this lady made this statement, it's like, okay, it doesn't surprise me, or it shouldn't, I guess, at this point in time.
No.
But, Doc, you know what, since the product has changed considerably since we last did a show a year and 4 months ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Do you still watch faithfully?
I wouldn't say faithfully. I still watch.
except SmackDown. I never watch SmackDown because I don't have my network TV here. And I've even gotten lazy on trying to read the recaps of SmackDown.
You know what? You're
but
taking
I do
my
watch
stance.
Raw.
Yeah.
And every once in a great while, I watch ECW.
I'll tell you what. I bet you don't. Do you watch Thursday nights?
No.
As little as possible, right?
I haven't seen TNA in a long time, to be honest.
Well, you know, I had somebody come in the gym last Friday and said, you know what, I had nothing else going on last night, and I turned TNA on, and damn it, now I know why I don't watch it.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. I mean, that's a sad commentary. It really is, but, I mean, that was unsolicited. I didn't even ask, you know, what'd you do last night? They just came up to me and made the statement. I'll tell you, now, I watched part of ECW last night, I'll be honest, and this is not due to the program. I was just wore out. I fell asleep before the tag match, but when I read of the recap this morning, I knew it was going to happen anyway, that Jack Swagger was going to, and him and Christian would have at it because of the whole. But I thought last night when Dreamer came out with the belt and signed his new contract, it was a heartfelt. I mean, his interview wasn't inspirational. It wasn't monumental. It wasn't, you know, like the Gettysburg Address, but it was Tommy Dreamer, and it was sincere.
Right.
You know, and now I can't believe that anybody told him what to say. I mean, he was just proud to be the ECW champion. And Tommy, I mean, if you really know Tommy, he's a good guy. And he takes pride in what he does, you know. And I thought, why can't you just leave everybody alone and let them do the same thing? Did either one of you guys watch Raw Monday night?
Yes.
I didn't get to see it, but I guess from what I'm hearing is the send-off for Vicky Guerrero was less than memorable too, huh?
It was like almost a passing mention.
But I mean, they degraded her, I guess, to the point where it really upset some people.
Well, supposedly they've been degrading her ever since she gave her notice.
Is that
the
right?
The pig thing?
Yeah.
Calling
yeah.
her a pig on TV, that's about when that started.
You know, I don't know. It just seems to me that, I don't know. You know, when she, at first I thought, what is she doing here when they first brought her aboard, right? Because, you knew it was to help out the family, which is a, you know, a very humane thing.
Right.
But she worked her way into the role. Hell, she had more heat at times than the heels, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and did, you know, I'm sure she did what she was told. And so that, you know, what I'm hearing is she needs to spend more time with her children, which is totally understandable. And so I think even if it's in a subtle, I mean, I don't expect them to go out and have a necessarily break character and say, well, Vicky, we appreciate the last 2 years that you've been, or whatever it's been, you know, that you've been with us and you've done a hell of a job. But in some way, you know, tip the hat to her, for God's sakes. It just does that not make sense to you guys?
Yeah. Basically, she quit, and Edge came out and said he wanted a divorce. He's done using her and stuff like it made him sick to have to kiss her and just all kinds of stuff, just like
wow.
really degrading her until she hit her knees and she's crying. And it didn't really offend me, though.
No?
No.
Now, see, I've had a couple of people tell me that they were, you know, they were upset by it. I didn't see it, so that's why I'm asking. Rich? Hello?
No, I didn't see it, so.
You didn't see it either?
Really,
okay.
Yeah, I can't really comment on it.
Okay. No, it didn't really offend me. It just seemed like another storyline. I wasn't
well, no,
even
well,
really sure.
Well, no, it is hard to offend you, for God's sakes.
That's true.
Some of these cartoons shows that they put on in car wrestling. I see Doc says that's good. That was really good. Okay, what? Take another hit off that joint. Tell me again what it was. Oh Lord, I don't know. It's you know it is what it is, I guess. But I don't know. I just felt that you know again I didn't see it, so I can't. I'll tell you what I did read was where they. Creed, Consequences Creed, Austin Creed, whatever the hell mm-hmm. Creed you want to call him, There was a good interview and talked about him going back to graduate school and stuff. There's a kid I think that's got a good future. I really do.
In the business or because he's going back to school?
Huh?
In the business or because he's going back to school?
Well, I think both. I think he's got an intelligent head on his shoulders, but he's not just an acrobat. I mean, he can do the acrobatics, but and having the opportunity to talk with him and spend some time around him and see him work outside of the TNA umbrella, he's interested in actually working too. I think that's
he's pretty young, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's just out of college. What, Rich? A year or 2 years?
Yeah, I think the last 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's talking about next year going back to graduate school.
I believe so. Yeah.
I think that's great. I mean,
yeah.
That's going to be a tough schedule for him too.
Yeah, but you know that's the thing in this business is you never know how far you're really going to take this thing or how long they're going to let you take this thing. So
no.
You got to have something to fall back on.
How about you guys give me some feedback? I know, of course, I I'm not a slice and dice advocate, but that whole tournament of death up in Delaware that CZW did over the weekend, Nick Gage had to be airlifted to a hospital and rushed into surgery.
You know, if they never have another match like that anywhere, it would be the best thing for wrestling.
Did you see either one of you see the video online?
I did see a video of it.
Yeah, where they slow-mo'd it and re-ran it over and over.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Now see that's yeah. I just you know what somebody said. Were you surprised that it happened? I said, no. What? No. I said, what's surprising? Hasn't happened 20 times before this.
Right.
You know, or does somebody actually legitimately has not died from? And here's the deal, you know. I'm not a big fan of hardcore, and that goes without saying. But to me, the I sit and think, okay, I heard they've drawn between 250 and 350 people.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's say, and every match, I guess, being the tournament of death, which it almost really was, I guess. That every match was similar to like what Ian does, the King of the Death matches or something.
Yeah.
But how much could he have made for this show? I mean, what his payoff was couldn't have covered the gasoline for that helicopter to airlift him, for God's sakes.
No, and they rely a lot on the DVD sales too.
Yeah, yeah. But my point being is, where's and his life's at risk, his long-term health's at risk. Now I don't know this young man. I don't dislike him. I don't have a feeling about him at all. But guys, it's like you gain a little fame status in a very small niche somewhere, and you put your life, and never mind if you're going to die, but if you're if your long-term health is messed up, what's the return for your family? For if you've got children, I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It really doesn't. And
right.
obviously, it doesn't draw millions and millions of people to watch this. And I tend to feel that, that the fans of that really hardcore, I guess is what you call it. They're the same ones that go to NASCAR to see the wrecks. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, really. It's just, but I mean, this kid's life, they airlifted him to the hospital. They once they got him out of the helicopter, straight into surgery because the glass from that tube had gone up, cut an artery up under his arm.
Yeah.
And gone into his armpit. But I said to somebody, that spear of glass could have just easily gone in through his eye and pierced his brain and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I mean, I noticed the show was outdoors, and I don't know if that had to do with some kind of ordinance because of the powder in those tubes. I know there was some clown that used to run, I forget what he called the promotion, but just to the northwest of us here in another county, and he was going to do one of those they call them log cabin death matches where they make the little playhouse out of the light tubes, and the city shut him down. It was indoors, and the city wouldn't let it happen because of the proximity of the fans to the ring, and they were afraid that powder would affect the people at ringside and stuff, and they shut him down because of that. So. And I noticed this was out of doors, and I was wondering if maybe that had something to do with it, too. I don't know.
I don't know, because Ian's King of the Death matches go indoors.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I went to one of those years ago when Shark Boy, before Shark Boy was Shark Boy, he was just a referee, and he refereed at one of those things, and I made the trip with him, and it was what it was. It was blood and gore and tables and chairs and glass, panes of glass, and light bulbs, and everything, and double juice in every match.
And some people love it.
Yeah, well, the few that were there, yeah, I agree. I do agree. But, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, let me ask you this.
Hmm.
Which one of the divas are you in love with this year?
I'm still in love with Mickie James.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't gotten to meet her yet, as it were.
Are you sending her any major notes, right?
If you're looking for a birthday present or anything for me, you know what to do.
I can get you Mickie James. Is that what I? she doesn't have a Playboy centerfold, so I can't.
Not yet, my friend. Not yet.
Okay. You figure she's going that route? I don't think so, huh?
I think she's been offered already.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. There's a few of those girls can actually work now. And it's just, man, I don't know. It's more TNA, and I don't mean total nonstop action, than it is when they, especially like when they lost Lisa Marie or Victoria, that was one of the better workers that was still there.
Right. And they didn't use her.
Huh?
And they weren't using her.
No. Well, it's just, it's the whole thing is. Well, let me ask you guys. Rich, are you looking at Christy Hemme's centerfold or anything?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to.
Let you guys go.
I didn't know if Doc had sent it to you. And, birds of a feather. I understand.
Did you guys catch the pay-per-view?
I did not see the pay-per-view. Did you see it, Rich?
No. I tasked Mike Sempervivi with that so we can talk about that on Friday night.
Oh,
it was
awesome. Was it awesome?
It was a good pay-per-view.
Was it really?
The end was really good.
Was the Santino segment good, Doc? And if you say yes, I'm coming to Indiana and bury my foot in your ass.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay.
That was the worst part of the pay-per-view.
Too bad he didn't get the axe with Vicky, right?
What?
Too bad he didn't get the axe.
Nah.
Yeah.
He's all right. I think he's funny, but the hog pen match was not good. They never are. And it wasn't funny. And this whole Santina thing isn't funny, I don't think, either.
It's worn out. It's welcome, I think.
Yeah,
don't
the
mean,
novelty's gone.
Yeah, the novelty's worn off, and it's okay. Well, it's kind of like the whole Sarah Palin thing that they did in TNA to the point
of... Oh, God. How long did they stretch that out?
Huh?
How long did they stretch that out?
I know, and, and it was dead. Well, it just, you think, okay, so the beautiful people are brain dead. They never read a newspaper, never watch television, and okay, whatever. Yeah, it was crazy. What I was going to ask you guys, what do you think about Umaga getting let go?
Well, supposedly he's telling people that he quit.
I'm not buying that. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense because he was working so hard to come back. He came back what? He's been back a week or so?
Yeah.
I ain't buying that. I just
they had Punk beat him. It wasn't a quick match, but for a pay per view it was.
Yeah.
It was like a TV length match, I guess. Like
I guess Punk got turned heel a little bit, huh? On Monday night.
He got booed a little bit.
Yeah.
For coming out. It's Jeff Hardy. I mean, give me a break.
Okay.
You're going to steal Jeff Hardy's title. He just got it. You're going to get booed.
Yeah. If you're planning on turning Punk, it was probably a smart move. If you're trying to keep him babyface, it was not a smart move.
I can't wait to see heel Punk. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Because before CM Punk was in WWE, most of the stuff I saw him on the independents was heel.
Yeah.
And he did some heel commentary and stuff like that. And
right.
He was good. I liked it. This Punk that we see on TV every week, it's too saccharine.
Well, don't you think, though, because we're playing to children and he is straight edge, legitimately, is against alcohol, drugs, cigarettes. I don't think he's against sex, from what I mean, I know CM. So anyway, I don't know him that way, but I mean, I know him well enough to know he's not averse to a good, wholesome sex. But I think, you know, the whole thing is that they've kind of kept him in the saccharine position simply to flaunt him, you know, as that clean-cut all-American boy.
Right, but they haven't mentioned that in about a year.
Well, that's true, too. You're right. You're right.
And I would love to see him, you know, be straight edge and be really arrogant about it. Like he's better than everybody else
because he in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I'm cool with that.
So I'm waiting to see that, and I hope that's what happens.
We weren't on the air last week. Rich had to fly to Cabo San Lucas.
I was on a plane to the Windy City.
Yeah, okay. When you're an executive doc, these things happen. I mean, it's just...
Yes.
He went to Chicago. They're considering giving him the Senate seat. He's just trying to buy it in Chicago. But, you know...
Had a meeting with Blagojevich.
Yeah, there you go. What do you... Doc, I don't know if you were paying... When we were first came on, before you came on with us, have you seen I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
I saw the second episode... And it was total garbage.
Okay, but is Spencer Pratt a heel or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Does he kind of remind you of Johnny Fairplay?
Yeah, he reminds me of a Johnny Fairplay ripoff.
Yeah.
And
okay,
I know he's seen Johnny Fairplay before.
You know, now, there's somebody, I'll tell you what, Rich, I was really surprised. I never talked to Fairplay. All I knew was what I'd heard, what I'd read, and Doc says, we're having Johnny Fairplay on the show. And I thought, oh, my God. and it was a hell of a good interview. It really was. He was very gregarious, very entertaining, witty, very polite, and the whole nine yards. So, it was a very big surprise to me. What do you guys think about the Kennedy release?
Not surprised. Not surprised. I guess the timing of it, but, you know.
Yeah. A couple times people ask, you know, about, well, what do you do with, you know, sloppy workers? I said, you give them very little. That's exactly what you do with them. But I think his run was over anyway. And I'll tell you the truth. Jim Cornette and I had this conversation way back. We both said the same thing. When we first saw him, we thought, boy, there's a lot of potential here. But the more we saw him, the less potential we saw. And it, because the whole interview thing was the shtick was good, but he wasn't consistent between the bells. I mean, you couldn't count on him to give you a good match all the time,
right.
Or 90% of the time. But, you know, they were planning on putting the strap on him at one time. Excuse me, Vince, the belt, the championship on him at one time.
Right.
And
Say it right, Les.
Yes, I know. I'm trying. It's entertainment.
Toe that company line.
Yes. Well, somebody has to, right? No, I'm not getting a check. I don't have to toe that company line. Doc, let me ask you a question. Of all the shows we did, mention a couple things that stick out in your mind, besides the fact that I ragged on you.
Wow. That's putting me on the spot.
Well, of course. That's what this is all about, to put you on the spot.
Things that I remember. Well, you already mentioned a couple. The one interview that you canceled within 5 minutes of being on the show.
Right.
That sticks out in my mind a lot. You know what the worst part of doing the show was the booking the guests.
Yeah.
I hated booking the guests. Because, well, like, most of the time you're going to get told no.
Yeah.
And I don't like being told no.
I heard that. Well,
so,
now, Rich, you and Rich can discuss that. I book guests when I had the Clear Channel thing here. But, of course, one of the things that I had access to, because we were on a major radio station in one of the top 25 markets, is I didn't have any problem getting by any of the company's politics. You know, that was WCW, ECW, or WWE, or WWF at the time. Back then, I didn't have to go through publicists or any. I could just call the guys, you know, and book them. And of course, Rich got stymied the same way we did, Doc.
Oh yeah.
With the TNA thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we weren't.
Well, good. At least it wasn't just me.
Well, we've managed to slide through the back door and pull a couple of guys in that had some local ties. But
you can get some guys who don't have contracts.
Yeah. You know, I mean, luckily we got AJ one time, and I think that was probably the biggest TNA guy we got at the time. And Rave was actually under contract, and we had him a couple times. And then, of course, he now hosts our Tuesday night show here on the network, which was supposed to start in January after TNA gave him approval to do it. And the week before we went to air, not even a week actually, just a couple days, they pulled the plug on that. So we were kind of stuck having advertised a show with him hosting it. But
AJ was another guy that TNA would only give us 15 minutes with him.
Yeah,
and
they told us
no.
15. I think we managed to get about 25 or 30, just because you know we knew him, you know, from way back. But you know, they weren't keeping watch on that, I don't think, too much. But then again, of course, we never got a call back after that. So, you know.
Well, you know, we had Kip James and BG both jumped the fence and did our shows without permission.
Right.
And then Kip did it more than Brian did, and then he finally got called on the carpet about it.
Yeah.
And
Kip didn't care for a while. He was doing all kinds of shows.
I know.
But there are some guys who are still working at TNA without a contract. And for the listeners who don't know what we're talking about, TNA won't let their guys do internet shows.
Right.
Is the problem. You have to be on terrestrial radio.
And you know, the crazy thing, the more I mean now, you know,
and this is just recent, this is like last couple of years.
Yeah, but before I got involved with doing the internet shows and not being knowledgeable about their reach and where they, you know, what they were doing, I might have said, yeah, well, that makes sense. But then, like, when Doc and I, when we were doing it, hell, we got emails from where? Greenland? What are some of the damn places? Greenland?
We got emails from countries that I didn't know existed.
Iceland? Well, I'll tell you.
Seriously.
Rich, one kid sent me, I say a kid, I don't know if it's a kid, and everybody's a kid to me at my age, but this one guy sent me an email saying he listened to the show. It was like Iceland or Greenland or someplace like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, of course, the show comes on here in his country, like at 3 a.m., right?
Right.
And so I emailed back, and I said, well, obviously, then you listen to the archives. He said, oh, no. I set my alarm, and I wake up. And I thought, my God, I wouldn't listen to me or Doc Young at 3 o'clock in the morning. Doc called me at 3 o'clock in the morning, wanted to talk, I'd hang up on his ass, you know.
And we were very big in Britain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, now on Facebook, I get some people from Britain and Scotland and stuff, but that's my point too. That the internet has more reach than the damn radio stations.
It certainly does.
I tried to explain this to the PR guy over there that handles the interviews, and he wasn't really hearing it. And he was like, you know, how many people, could you really get to listen to your show? And I said, more people listen to our show than show up to your house shows.
Well, that's...
and that's the truth.
Yep.
Sure.
And well, he got mad about that, but but it was the truth.
Well, you know, there now, I don't know if this was right, wrong, or indifferent, but it was last week that I read where they did three house shows in the Carolinas or something for a total of 1,000 people.
Wow.
Or something like that. I'm not even sure. But that cannot be, in the least way, even break-even, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can't. And now I see they're trying to get more luchadors out of Mexico, and I can't really see what that's... you know, and I think that's... That thing, that particular experiment has been done and done and done. And bottom line is that in the high Hispanic populated markets, it flies. And in the other markets, it doesn't.
Right.
You know, because the Hispanic, the Mexican people with Mexican heritage understand the mask. They understand the style. And you know, the average American wrestling fan, casual or otherwise, really doesn't, you know. So
right.
I'm not sure what that particular experiment is about. I really don't know.
And I don't want to bring up the R word and say Russo.
Oh, the R word. Okay. Well, it's all right. Cornette's not on with us tonight. So you can use the R word.
But it just, I mean.
Well, we said everything.
They just keep going back to
the
name. They keep going back to that well.
I said we said everything but Russo the night Cornette was on, though.
Yeah, yes, we did. Well,
everything short of mentioning his name.
Well, now you know, Jimmy has to kind of bite his tongue now because not that Russo signs his checks, but, you know, he's got to be a little more politically correct, which I know kills him. But he does. Speaking of Jimmy, he's been Joey Styles has been catching that acid tongue, I guess, over this past week.
Yes, criticizing our president.
Yes.
I don't know what to say about him.
I don't know what, Joey Styles or the president?
Joey Styles, he's got issues.
Oh, okay. So you're an Obama advocate, are you?
I'm an Obama advocate, yes.
I'm like Jim Ross. I try not to throw politics out there.
I'm not afraid to say it anymore because I'm not going to be doing a radio show anymore. So I'm not afraid
okay.
to alienate fans.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Doc unloads. Here we go.
The stance of Doc Young on this show tonight does not necessarily express the views of the network.
Has nothing to do with PST, people.
Right.
This is me tonight.
I'll tell you what. The new president realized he wants to take some of the medical benefits away from we old folks, which I kind of scratch my head about because don't you need more medical attention when you get old?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not real sure about that, but that seems to be the I'll tell you what's driving me crazy is what I call the domestic terrorists, the damn people, the oil companies.
Yeah.
They don't throw bombs. They just put their hands in your pocket and clean you out, for Christ's sake.
Now, the thing about Joey Styles is that it's not that he really has a problem with the president because everybody is entitled to their opinions, but if he had a problem with George Bush and he was saying that, WWE wouldn't let him say it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, and part of Joey's thing was, too, about involving Judaism, too, wasn't it, to a certain degree, where he was over, where the president was it to do with Palestinian and Israeli issues or something? I don't know.
Muslims.
Yeah, okay, Muslim. I mean, that war is older than I am, for God's sakes. That's,
right.
You know, I mean, again, I'm not for it, you know, but I'm just saying that's, I kind of take Jim Ross's stance. I think as a, you know, now, I realize a lot of movie stars and a lot of musicians who are already multimillionaires and can't be really affected by it can go ahead and step out there and do that. But I think,
right.
You know, I've just, you know, I have my political views and have had them for years, but I've never, you know, voiced them on a television show or during radio interviews or stuff like that. I just don't. You know, it just
opens up too many cans of worms.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And I think it overshadows and dilutes whatever you may bring to the table with the particular subject that you're actually doing the show for.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. Some people can't get past a few things, and one of those things is political stances and political opinions. And bottom line is, no matter where you sit on an issue, if you're sitting on one side and I'm sitting on another, I'm not going to make you see my side of it, and you're not going to make me see yours.
No,
so we're going to just butt heads. So you know, why the hell even get? Why
well,
go down?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I don't know any of these people, and I'm not major fans of. But when Toby Keith and who are the
Dixie Chicks?
Yeah, exactly. I thought, why are you people wasting my time with this? You know, they first of all, it's the girl's opinion. It's not like it's going to change anything. It's their opinion. You know,
are you talking about when they said that they were embarrassed to be from Texas?
Yeah, and radio still doesn't play them, by the way.
I was working at a radio station locally here when that happened. And our station manager banned the Dixie Chicks from our station.
For
we were not allowed to play them. Now, I didn't like the Dixie Chicks, their music or anything like that, but I was so tempted to play them anyway at night when the boss wasn't there. Just because I agreed with them so heavily.
Well, you know, but see, to me, the whole thing is, and I thought Toby Keith kind of made an ass of himself, you know, by going 360 degrees the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, by making it an issue, you know? And I realize there are people that still are down on Jane Fonda, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know, it's over. You know, it's done with. You know, she's 70-some years old, and it's like, you know, all of us who haven't made a mistake in our life, please stand up and raise your hand. Nobody's going to stand up, you know. It's just,
right.
You know, but again, I think the whole political arena should be left in the political arena, you know, and I just don't think it's...
So you don't think Joey should be voicing his opinions?
Well, I don't think, you know, he should be so, you know, so adamant, so, you know, and then, you know, Jimmy doesn't need to come back in the other direction either. I mean, it's and I don't know Joey that well. We had Joey on, didn't we?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. I was thinking we had yeah, we did. Didn't we have him on when I was down in Florida at that big Legends thing?
Joey Styles?
Yeah, didn't I put him on the phone? Didn't I have him on the cell phone?
No.
On Sunday night, I swear to God, I think I did. Well, maybe not. Okay, maybe I am losing my mind. But anyway, you know, I don't know Joey that well. I know Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy is one of my best friends, but that doesn't mean that I condone each and everything he does. I mean, I've disagreed with my mother and father and love them to death, but you know, it just. I don't see the value. I really don't see the value. So
you think this is just another WWE versus TNA type squabbling?
Yeah. Well, that's you know, it is what it is. And what do you think about Flair coming out of retirement?
He wouldn't be the first.
Yeah, but I just think that whole thing they did was so well done, so beautifully done. You know, and I understand, you know, a couple of people said, well, you know, money's an issue. I said, I'm not adverse to him making money. I never said that.
Right.
I'm just, I don't want to see him come back. And I say that as he is a personal friend. He's been a friend for years. I respect totally what he's done in the business. I admire him, and you know, and all he's accomplished. I just think it's the, you know, it's like the whole Brett Favre thing. Please, you know, take a break.
Money is an issue, but you also got to remember this is the guy who's making thousands and thousands of dollars just to walk into the buildings now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you when he ask out of his WWE contract from being their, you know, whatever you, public relations greeter, you know, whatever title they tagged on him. I'm thinking, why are you doing that? That paycheck doesn't bounce. It's steady. It's there every week, you know. And the whole independent thing, it was, especially with the prices he's asking. And again, I'm not saying he's not deserving of those prices. I'm just saying the independent climate, and especially in this economy, those who are going to book him one time around probably aren't ever going to do it again.
Right.
You know, and a lot of those.
And for the most part, really, I mean, that's kind of started to dry up here in the last few months, aside from the regular gigs he's, you know, got.
Right.
Still, you know, obviously he can't do the Ring of Honor TV anymore, but he's
sure.
still got a few house shows he's supposed to be able to make.
Well,
hey,
you know,
I'm sorry.
The kind of money that he commands, and again, I don't begrudge him the money. I don't begrudge any. I mean, you know, if Rich Tate can get $1 million to go over to Peachtree Street and pitch nickels, hell, man, take it. I'm not adverse to that either, but how many times
nor
are you going
I.
to get that? No,
nor
are
I.
you, right? How many times are you going to do that? You know, that's my. I mean, like, you know, he's doing autographs at Walmart. Well, Walmart can afford whatever he's charging. Let's face it, right?
Right.
And write it off. But now you put Ric Flair in the right Walmart in the right part of the country, he's gonna put people in that store that haven't been there in a while. I mean, he really is, and they can afford that kind of money, but. And the independent promoter is going to play hell breaking even on that deal. I mean, it's just not. It's not good economics.
Right.
So, and, you know, and he's tired of, you know, but here's the crazy thing. Rick has got such a gregarious personality. He is so good with people. I just, he's tired of signing autographs and shaking hands. But if it's paying the bills, I mean, after all, he is 60 years old.
Right.
Hey, guys, we've got somebody on the line who wants to talk to Doc.
Okay.
Let's bring him on and welcome him to the show.
Okay. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here.
Great, man. Welcome to the show.
You know,
thank you for having me
Doc?
On. And I'm sorry.
No, I asked Doc if he recognized that voice from your.
Oh, yeah. I guess I should say that, Doc, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com. How you doing?
Oh, Adam. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. I just wanted to give you a call and say it's a shame you can't continue doing the radio stuff. I was a really big fan of Wrestling Weekly, and it was a blast to come on your show when you gave me a call. I think it was towards the end of 2007, early 2008, when you let me come on and do the Hot Topic stuff, and that was a lot of fun. I was actually not doing wrestling radio at the time, so it was fun to be able to talk some wrestling and to get to come on with you and talk wrestling and along with Les, and it was always a pleasure, and I was sorry to hear you can't continue this, but I just wanted to give you a call and wish you well.
Wow, thank you very much.
Adam, you know what? We were just talking politics, and Rich, you don't know this, but Adam is a political major. I mean, he's big into that stuff. But Adam also filled in for me a couple times when I couldn't host.
Right.
And
yep.
and he and Doc had a secret love affair, but I didn't want to talk about that.
Just got
Adam,
love.
Now I know you are very, very much into politics, but on your wrestling show, we were just talking about the whole Joey Styles.
Yeah.
Do you express that a lot on your show?
Absolutely not. I don't think that's the place for it at all. And you know, I mean, it was entertaining. I mean, the problem is that, you know, it's hard to discuss a situation like this when you yourself know you favor one side over the other. And I think people who know me that I favor one side politically as far as the last 10 years go. That could easily change as I get older, as a lot of people tell me. And I listened to Jim Cornette's rant on his show, and he was pretty outspoken against Joey Styles. And, you know, I actually was just starting to get into the Twitter thing, and I found Joey Styles in there, and I subscribed, and I just, you know, it's one of those situations where it almost affects your opinion of a product if the person you're really into starts saying things that maybe you do agree with. I mean, it's kind of a catch-22, because if you agreed with everything Joey Styles said, you love the guy even more now. But if you disagreed with him, you were really kind of turned off by his comments, and that's just not the time or the place for it. And, you know, ultimately he did go on there and say, listen, these views don't, you know, represent the WWE, which they kind of do because, you know, 99.9% of the people who, you know, work in that company are extremely right-wing and very conservative, and I've known that for a long time. But Vince McMahon's smart enough not to – I mean, of course, he's not a Barack Obama fan, but he doesn't go off on television and, you know, say things that he thinks could, you know, alienate a portion of his audience that do like, you know, President Obama. And
right.
So, I mean, it's just there's a time and a place for that stuff. And
but here's the question. Does Joey need – the fans that he's alienating, because, you know, he's heading up WWE.com right now. He's not really doing anything on TV. Does it matter?
I think it does a little bit to me because, I mean, if he's representing a website that is that popular and you have people coming to that website that don't necessarily agree with those opinions, it could be like, well, I don't really want to go to this site if he's going to be spewing off stuff. I mean, granted, he's not putting content out there that's politically related, but imagine if something – well, imagine if Barack Obama was to – come out, you know, tomorrow on CNN and ban something regarding professional wrestling. I mean, imagine what would happen with I mean, Joey Styles would blow a gasket and he would go crazy. But I mean, he did. I mean, I understand what the question is saying is that, you know, maybe he can get away with stuff like that. And to a degree, I think he can. But it got so much attention though with the internet crowd, because this is a huge community. Eventually, somebody was going to see it and they were not going to be pleased with it. And I got a little tired. I mean, I have people that I follow on Twitter, too, who agree with me politically, but even I get sick of hearing someone gush over somebody for so much, and everybody has their faults, and nobody's perfect in politics. I guess that's my biggest problem with Joey Styles and a lot of right-wing people is that they think their side's always correct and the other side's always wrong, and I can't stand people like that in politics that are so, so, you know, biased and they're so partisan. They don't look at both sides of the things, and I have very close friends of mine who are hardcore right-wing Republicans and very close friends who are very liberal and Democratic. And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And it almost kind of, you know, I mean, Matt Stryker was doing it on ECW on commentary. He was taking pot shots at Obama and stuff like that. And some people went, whoa.
In all fairness, I think Matt Stryker was told to do that.
It's very possible. I mean, he's got Vince in his ear. So, I mean, you know, that's very possible. You never know.
Yeah, I would. I think that Joey probably's got a little more leadway on the website, but I think I'm kind of like Doc there. I think anything that's coming out of somebody's mouth on one of those television shows, it's something being put. Either they've got the okay to say it, or it's being, you know, the words are being put in their mouth too. But yeah, Adam, you know, the thing that I said, I think we were talking about the Dixie Chicks and Toby Keith and that whole thing. But
yeah.
I think it dilutes. What your prime purpose, I mean, like with those people, it's music, right? And I think they're,
yeah,
both sides of the political thing diluted the fact that they're good artists.
Yeah.
You know, because you didn't look at their singing or how many number one hits they had, or it was, well, he's anti this or pro that, you know. And I don't really care. It's like, I'm a big Boston Celtics fan, and if Kevin Garnett, I don't give a damn if he's a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal,
yeah, yeah,
you know, or an independent. I just want to see him win basketball games.
All right.
You know,
I think it's sometimes when people just get so in your face with it, you're just kind of going, whoa, hold on a second. You know, I'm not here for that stuff. I'm here for, you know, in Joey Styles' case, I'm here to find out stuff about, you know, WWE, the .com website. I'm not here to get, you know, political. And you brought the Dixie Chicks and the Toby Keith.
Toby
and
Keith.
There was a great documentary about that, which was also very biased because it just looked at the Dixie Chicks side of it and not Toby Keith's side of it. But it's like, you know, I don't want to come on here and begrudge Joey Styles, because Joey Styles has every right to say stuff like that. But, you know, in doing that, though, then you can't get on other people who disagree with you and want to say the same things. And that's one of the things I've always found a little interesting about right-wing people is that they feel that they can say whatever they want, but if someone comes on and disagrees with them, oh, you're totally out of line, and you're being un-American, and you're not supporting our president. And just if you're going to say something, toe the line, look at it both sides. Don't favor it. You know, one just because he's not your guy. You know, that's the thing about politics that frustrates me a lot, which is why a lot of the times I don't even bother talking politics with people.
Well, damn it, Adam, let's don't talk politics. Let's talk wrestling.
it's a touchy subject, Les. You got to be careful who you talk about that with.
Yeah,
get off your damn political soapbox there, Adam.
For those people just tuning in to Peach State Politics.
yeah, yeah. Your boy Sean Morley Less is really into that stuff now. Val Venus, I went on his YouTube page, and he has like a little mini show, and he is like really aggressive about that stuff.
I'm going to tell you what, when Val was here on my roster in Cincinnati, he got one of the Clear Channel, and I don't listen to political shows. I mean, I'm just, you know, but we got him on a local talk show. It had nothing to do with sports, wrestling, or anything else. And I turned it on, and I mean, I'd heard Val talking to Jim and stuff, right? But I was so amazed. But then there was an idiot, right? And I say an idiot because as unpolitical as I may be or as unintelligent about politics I may be, I realized that Val was very well versed, you know, and educated in that particular genre. And some guy came on and said, well, how can you, you know, some to the effect, well, you're a professional wrestler, so you obviously don't know what you're talking about. And I thought, well, see, here we go,
right?
We're slapping labels on people. But, yeah, the fact, well, you know, Glenn Jacobs is a libertarian, too.
Absolutely, yeah. He has his own little, like, identity show, and I've seen that show before, and they're both really big into it.
Yeah. Well, I remember Val, I was kind of, well, I won't say a shocked or anything, but it was interesting to talk a little politics with him when he was here, because a lot of the things like the whole medical situation, you know, everybody in Canada is covered, and he wasn't for that at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and of course the people, you know, a lot of people here who don't have medical insurance would say, yeah, man, I wish we were like Canada or like England or, you know, and he said, man, it's just, you know. He's been a part of that, and he just thought it should have been done a different way. But yeah, he's very sharp on politics. Good guy too. Good guy, very good guy. Adam, let me ask you, when you were on our shows, or some of the times when you were filling in for me, anything that jumps out at you from the past that was fun or stupid or when Doc was drunk or
well, I never did.
He's never been drunk. I mean,
never been drunk.
I always enjoyed the wrestling conversation with you, Les, and I remember one time that Doc called me and wanted to have me on a hot topic about Glenn Gilberti doing a column about I think he was looking at the X Division or something in the wrestling business, and he was giving a comment. And I had read that, and then Doc had called me and said, do you want to come on and talk about that? And I said, well, yeah, but it's Glenn Gilberti. And he kind of went, why is everybody saying that about Glenn Gilberti? Like, everybody, he was like, why does everybody say that? And I thought that was kind of funny. And he's like, we got to break. And I remember Doc went through the whole column, and we broke it down, and that was a whole bunch of fun. I remember that a lot. And one thing I did want to say about the show is that when I stopped doing Wrestling News Live, I think it was about August of 2007, I was, and you know, you guys know this, when you guys do a wrestling radio show, you're so consumed with that show that you don't usually have a lot of time to go out and check some other shows unless you're, you know, asked to come on that show or check it out.
Right.
And one of the shows that I zeroed in on was Wrestling Weekly. I always listened to the show on archive. I was never able to listen live, but when I was able to open up my schedule a little bit and really take a look at the wrestling radio genre and see what people were doing, I totally zeroed in on Wrestling Weekly and said, these are the guys that are totally going to keep, you know, this thing going. Because, I mean, it was a weird time in 2007. I was getting a little tired of it, and you guys totally picked it up, kept running with it. I think you guys won Show of the Year that year. I mean, it was a huge year for you guys, and you guys always did a phenomenal job. And then just, you know, having Les on the show, I mean, how many people could say, you know, I mean, Doc was great, and had very good opinions, and then the fact that Doc had enough credibility to have a guy like Les Thatcher co-host with him. I mean, how many people can say that they have a legendary guy like Les Thatcher come on your show voluntarily every week and want to talk wrestling? And that's what really impressed me about Doc, was that he could get a huge guy like Les Thatcher, who's very, very well known in the wrestling business. That just blew me away. I went, wow, I mean, this is the real deal. So that's one thing I always really remembered about the show.
You're saying exactly what I told you to say, Adam. Good job.
Checks in the mail, right?
That was well said. No, I really appreciate
what?
That, man.
I just that whole thing is, when we started, I had no idea what the chemistry was going to be like. We never planned any. I mean, it was never like, Doc, you say this, I'll say that, or Doc never called me and said, you take this side, I'll take that side. It just went with it. And
one time I think I told you to say something. We were making a joke about Dub Dub Do you remember I said I wanted to nickname the show, have it have a cool name, and WW was too long, and what's short for W? Dub. We should call the show Dub Dub. And you were like three men in a tub.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember
that.
You
thought
it
was the stupidest idea ever. And I was like, let's do that on the show.
We had to have a catchphrase like every independent wrestler.
Yes.
We didn't have to know how to work. We just need a catchphrase. That's
right. But I think that was the only thing we've ever planned.
And it didn't fly, did it?
To say. No, it was funny. I thought it was funny. I thought it went over well.
Well, of course you did, you damn fool.
It was my idea.
You thought it up.
It was,
you know,
great.
Adam, I told Rich at the top of this thing, I said one of the things was that we, you know, like Doc would always be the devil's advocate, and we would, you know, I would pick at him, and a lot of people thought it was a shoot. They thought,
oh yeah,
was,
they thought you were picking on him for real. They're like, God, Les is really mean to Doc, and all that stuff. I always heard that from people about Wrestling Weekly. They said, he really picks on Doc Young, though.
And Les would get really upset. He would be like, what's the matter with these people?
Guys, I hate to break it up, but we are down to about 3 minutes. We got another caller on the line. You want us to, Les, take that one?
Yeah, we better take it. Adam, thank you for coming on.
All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
We've enjoyed it. Yeah, thanks so
much. All right,
so
sounds good. And by the way, Doc, Trey Dog says his love, too, and he appreciates everything you did as well.
All right, thank you very much, man.
Okay,
tell him
see you later.
Tell him I said hi.
Thanks, Adam.
Okay, bye.
All right, caller from the 401 area code, you're on the line.
Yes, hi, guys. My name is Sean. I was rattling red in the Wrestling Weekly chat room. Just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the show. It's unfortunate that it can't continue, but, Doc, thanks for all your hard work, the great shows. You're a fighter. You're an inspiration to all of us, and so I just wanted to wish you well.
Wow, thanks.
Hey, Sean, thank you. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for being a fan, man. That's really great, and I'm going to miss hanging out with this idiot, too.
WrestleMania 26, Doc Young versus Les Thatcher. Let's do it. Paul Vince.
He's only got a bad cough, and he's so much younger than me, he's liable to whip my ass. I don't know.
Thanks, guys. God bless.
Thank you
very much, man, for calling in. I want to say something before we go off the air.
Okay.
Wow. I don't know what's going to happen to the website. I might keep it up. As for now, we still have advertisers that have paid money to be on the site, and the site's going to stay there for a while. You can check the news every day at WrestlingWeekly.com. There are different options that we could go on with the site, having the show go on with two different people, doing it just news site, selling the site to somebody else. I don't know what's going to happen with it yet as far as that, but I'll keep everybody updated on my MySpace about that. MySpace.com/DocYoung, of course. But I've taken a job with Brian Alvarez. So I'm not going to be completely gone from wrestling. I'm going to be working with Brian over at the Figure Four Weekly.
And you're still going to let me
website.
Aggravate you with my websites, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I'll still be running Les's sites, epwt.com, and, of course, lesthatcher.com. So I'm not going to be going away completely. You just won't hear me anymore. I'll be working behind the scenes a little bit.
I want to say, and I'm sure Rich will echo this too, that on Wednesday nights, if you're tuned in and you got an opinion, please jump on here and join us. And I want to say that, again, I probably wouldn't be doing internet talk shows if it weren't for you. And it won't be the same because it was a special thing, man, and I love you. And it was a trip. It was a hell of a ride. And I want you to know that my heart's with you, and thank you so much for everything you've done for me.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
hey, man.
It. We got time left, or are we done?
I got about 45 seconds. I do want to say that, as Les said, the door is always open here, man.
I appreciate that, Rich. And it was nice to meet you tonight, man.
You as well.
Doc, I love you, brother, and you be well. And, again, Thanks so much for everything, and I'm going to miss you.
You won't miss me. I'll still be around.
Okay.
All right, you guys take it easy, man. I'll let you wrap up the show.
All right, Doc. Thanks, baby.
Bye-bye.
All right. And as the live feed just about cuts out here in the next 5 seconds, I want to mention real quick, thank you to Adam Martin for calling in. Thank you for our listeners for joining in.